morning. Happy Sabbath. Really appreciated that great music, and I know I really appreciate the fact that I'm between you and lunch. And after talking about all those apples and oranges, I bet even broccoli sounds good. So let me thank you for inviting me to be here. I was blessed with poor health, and I was brought to the Seventh-day Adventist Church through the health message. So health is my passion. The health message is my passion. And I am just so happy to have the opportunity to talk to you about the most powerful system known to man for preventing and reversing all chronic degenerative diseases, can add 15 productive years to your life. Now, the sermon that I'm going to give now is going to be a little bit different than this morning. I know that the time is short, but I want to hit some key points as we go along, and I will elaborate this afternoon. I'm going to be talking about let food be your medicine, and following on the theme of adding 15 productive years to your life, 15 or more productive years to your life. Hezekiah was given those 15 years when we are in harmony with God's divine prescription for health and healing. We will add 15 or more productive years to our life. So that's the topic. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be talking about a cure for all diseases. There's no reason why we who have this very powerful health message should ever be afraid of cancer, blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Ebola, or anything else out there. We need to find something else to die of besides those things, because we have the most powerful system known to man. It was given to us, nobody else. So that's what we're going to be spending the time talking about. Now, my favorite author after the Bible is Ellen G. White. I was studying for my first doctorate, actually working on my doctoral thesis when I was visiting one of the wellness centers. And basically, after evaluating the center, I didn't realize that Seventh-day Adventists knew everything there was to know about health. And so I told them that there were a couple of errors. And after debating with the president, the director, they couldn't argue with me logically or scientifically. I studied all the different health systems out there. I studied all the various religions. I was this far from becoming a Taoist after studying Buddhism, Islam, and a whole bunch of Hinduism, etc. And so God blessed me with poor health but a pretty good brain, so they couldn't argue with me. And then they brought up the spirit of prophecy. So what is that? We're having an intelligent conversation, and you're bringing that into conversation. And I said, who's that? What's that about? They said, well, Ellen G. White, the most prolific female author of all. I said, what are you talking about? I have three doctorates. I have an MBA, an advanced business degree, knew Montauk Chia, went to Thailand, knew all of these greats out there, all these doctors, all these professionals. They gave me two books, Counsels on Diets and Foods, Counsels on Health. Went home, read it. 6 weeks later, I came back. I said, she's right. You're wrong. 6 months later, I was a Seventh-day Adventist. So I have a particular passion. What she tells us is God is as truly the author of the physical laws as he is the author of the moral laws. His laws is written with his finger upon every nerve, muscle, faculty, every sinew, every corpuscle, every DNA, every cell of our body, which has been entrusted to man. It is as truly a sin to violate the laws of our being as it is to break the Ten Commandments. And the Word of God tells us that if anyone defiles this temple, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We are walking temples. We should be walking epistles as well, but we are walking temples. If anyone defiles this temple, God will defile him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So it behooves us to, in order to render perfect service to God, we must have clear conception of his requirements. And we pray, thy will be done, don't we? When we say the Lord's Prayer. So let's understand what his requirements are. So for the longest time, I never do the same sermon the same way, the same presentation the same way. But for the longest time, I said, you know, this God who is the author of the moral law, who's author of the natural law, let's put together a presentation or sermon. My sermons are seminars. My seminars are sermons. They blend into each other. Using the Ten Commandments as the model or paradigm for the Ten Laws of Health and Healing, the divine prescription for health and healing. So that's what I want to spend these next few minutes with you talking about. But before that, let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, because we're walking on holy ground. Let's take off our sandals and invite the Spirit to be with us. Gracious Father, we praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you so much for all of your blessings. We thank you for this Sabbath season. We thank you for bringing us safely together in fellowship. Lord, you know what I plan to speak about, but these are your children, not mine. So I pray that those things that I talk about that are not in harmony with your will, that you help me to forget those things, overrule them. And there's somebody you might want to speak to today, either individual or corporately. Help me to emphasize those things so that this precious time we spend together is a blessing and not a curse, that your will be done and not mine. And if any good come out of this time we spend together, all of the honor and glory go to you and no one else. This is my prayer in the very precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, your Son, and our very, very best friend. Amen. So we're going to use the Ten Commandments of the moral law as the paradigm or model for the Ten Commandments of the divine prescription for health and healing. So let's go through that. The first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any gods before me. The first commandment of health and healing is, I am the master physician. Thou shalt have no physicians before me. The pen of inspiration says, men and women should inform themselves in regard to the philosophy of health. She goes on to say, the present generation have trusted their bodies with the doctors and their souls with the ministers. She goes on further and says, if they are sick, they send for the doctor, believe whatever he may tell them, and swallow anything he may prescribe. For do they not pay him a liberal fee? And is it not his business to understand their physical ailments and what to prescribe to make them better? And being troubled with this matter? So, you know, Pen of Inspiration tells us that many of us, even who profess to know these health laws, are lamentably ignorant. Those are not my words. She's talking about me too. I'm not. If you notice, a lot of times I don't say you, I say we. So let's go through this and let's understand this. In this first commandment, God identifies himself and himself alone as the one and only master healer. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this afternoon. So you'll see how in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, he has given us all his health laws. And you can see the love, the power, the wisdom, and how he gave it to us. So we'll talk about that in this afternoon's session. But in Isaiah 8:20, he says, if it's not according to the law and the testimony, there's no light in it. And the other thing that is very important for us to understand is that the master healer in his organization is a theocracy. It's not a democracy. He doesn't ask for our opinion. When he went through Genesis and created all that he did, and he got all the way, and he said, this is good, this is good, this is good. Then in Genesis 1:31, he says, this is very good. I searched everywhere. I can't find it where he's ever called a staff meeting or task force, group of meeting headed by Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or anybody, and asked Help me to make it better. He is the master physician. It's his word. If that word that is powerful enough to create the universe and to create us is that same word that can heal us from all of our moral and physical transgressions. God has a health plan. We're going to talk about this a little bit more on Tuesday, but Sunday. But this afternoon, we will start seeing how powerful these laws really are. So commandment number two. There is a commandment number two, believe me. Thou shalt make the flicker work. Do we have a substitute? Well, let me continue. Commandment number two is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything heaven in heaven above or the earth below. Commandment number two of the health law is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven foods or likeness of food on this earth. Oh, it's back. Thank you. Oh, great. Okay. So in Exodus 24-6, thou shalt not make unto thee any image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, etc. In the spirit of time, let's go right next to what the health law is, that commandment. No counterfeit foods. And you can see in there it says there's not going to be any likeness of any food, any counterfeit foods in this second commandment. What are the different counterfeit foods? Okay. You know, we have a really great health message. You know, I gave this a presentation like this once in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you see the presentation that I'm going to give, if you watch this afternoon, when I go through that, I talk about the hierarchy of nutrients from the best nutrients to the worst nutrients. And when I come to meat, I remember saying, there are some people who eat pork who are healthier than Seventh-day Adventists, and somebody in the back of the church screamed out, blasphemer! I wasn't saying that you should eat pork, but these meat analogs is worse than pork, believe it or not. Worse than shellfish. It's devoid of any nutrients. And you'll see where it fits in that hierarchy of nutrients. There's no enzymes. At least the body over thousands of years will recognize a pork or a shellfish. When you put that down in your stomach, it says, what's that you're sending at me? What am I supposed to do with that? That's a counterfeit food. It might taste good. As a matter of fact, I knew a pastor's wife that can whip up some fake rubber chicken. It tastes better than any of the chicken that I've ever had in the old days. You will understand where these fit a little bit better this afternoon. But let's look at commandment number three. Thou shalt not blaspheme my health system. What are those misused systems? Any system that is in harmony, that is not in harmony with God's divine prescription for health and healing, his natural laws, or gives credit to persons or institutions or man-made remedies rather than the master healer. Those are counterfeit. Whether it's alternative medicine, which is the world I came from, new age systems, conventional medicine, hospitals versus sanitariums, all of those are blaspheming the word of God. They have nothing to do with his word, with his medical manual, or the spirit of prophecy, the dependent of inspiration. Dependent of inspiration also says there are many ways of practicing healing arts, but there's only one that heaven approves. Now, all systems have pieces of the health plan. Nobody has the total thing. Just like some churches have many of the commandments. A lot of churches have at least nine. At least they professed at least nine. They do another Sabbath. But all hell doesn't have pieces of it, some more than others. This might shock you that Taoism is very close to Seventh-day Adventism. Very health-oriented, vegetarianism, a lot of those things. Deep breathing, being out in the air, fresh air, the sunlight, and a lot of those things. But any system, whether it's naturopathic, whether it's allopathic, if they're not in harmony with God's prescription for health and healing, there's limited light. A lot of us remember this, don't we? Anybody remember the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Well, the commandment for the divine prescription for health and healing, this fourth command, is remember my health laws and keep them holy. Holy with a W. Keep all of them. Not multiple choice, not fill in the blanks. Keep them holy. And just like the fourth commandment of the moral law is the test commandment, fourth commandment of the natural law, of his natural laws, is also a test commandment. Who do you remember when sickness comes? Oh, yeah, we're great. Well, we believe in the health law. You get a sniffle, or we run for the antihistamines. We run for the vaccinations. We run for the mammograms and this, that, the other grams and all other kinds, just like everybody else. I'm wondering if we keep doing this, when we tell them to come out of Babylon, they run out to the other side and say, what's different? Is your emphasis on keeping your temple holy? Do you keep the commandments holy? Not all of them. And not only when you're feeling good, first sign of a tumor or something, you're running for a biopsy. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing we're vegetarian. We're running for the biopsy faster than the secular folks. So we need to remember that the wisdom of the unsanctified is foolishness in the eyes of God. And I tell people, doctors aren't bad people. They're very bright people. It's a testament to the adversary how he uses our strengths, all of our strengths. And I'm speaking from personal experience. When you think you're strong, you're in a whole heap of trouble. It's only in your weakness. And when you go to the master healer, are you really in good shape? And the presentation that I'm going to be using Sunday is one that I developed with a medical doctor. And she was my client. She was so sick at the age of 26 from formaldehyde. And she's the one who told me that she was pistol whipped, basically, in medical school. You get no sleep. You're not encouraged to ask questions. And because they're very bright, they get these very high aptitudes. They get in the most expensive schools. They even get scholarships, et cetera. And then you get torn up in there. You're doing in the alternative medicine schools also, but not as much. Inspired wisdom tells us that disease is an effort of nature to free the system from the conditions that result from germs? No. From a violation of the laws of health. We're going to have fun for you, those of you who stick around Sunday. You will never be afraid of a germ again. You shouldn't be afraid of a Ebola. And as a matter of fact, I tell people, if you're afraid of germs, if you really believe in the germ theory, why would you ever go to a hospital when you're sick? There's more germs there than any place else. Even common sense, when you start, why am I running in? I'm feeling sick, so I'm going to this place where I can get more sick. So we'll talk about that. God's health laws are the most powerful system known to man for preventing and reversing all chronic degenerative diseases. His plan from creation to today is the same powerful plan that put us in existence and can keep us healthy all the way to the promised land. You know, we should be, if we have an issue like Hezekiah, we should go to the Lord first. I'm going to talk about the hierarchy of healing. And it tells you the steps you should go through. And I'm not going to tell you what those steps are, but a part of it is we need to be on our knees and go to God first. Now, if he tells you to go to a medical doctor, or to go to a hospital in that hierarchy. It's not in the beginning. You already figured that out. Then you do that. I just say, you just let me know. I can't imagine him saying that when he has all the wisdom. We should be like Moses. Moses was climbed up the mountain to dig his grave. He didn't have pallbearers. We should say, our ministry is over. We're going to run to the promised land. We don't need six people carrying us, dragging us over to the promised land with all kinds of problems. Not us. Commandment number 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord God giveth thee. Honor your original parents' dietary principles, and you live a long time. The lifespan for the first 10 generations of mankind was over, the average lifespan was 900 years. Next 10 generations, it went down to 175 with Abraham. Then after that, the next 10 generations, it went down to 70. And the Psalm said, this 3,500 years ago, it said, man is given 70. If he's fortunate, he'll get 10 more. And I'm talking about productive years. People didn't die of cancer. People died of high blood pressure. They died of maybe a bullet wound or getting shot or a cannon or somebody pouring hot oil on them. Did you know that in 1900, less than 3% of the people died of cancer? 1900. In the year 2000, 3% of the 1.74 million people that died in the United States. In 2000, the year 2000, 30%. We're devolving. We're not evolving. So we need to honor their diet. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. This is the topic of this afternoon. We're going to have some fun with some food. Okay? As a matter of fact, it's called the hierarchy of nutrients, and it's a very unique perspective. God gave me this, and I'll show you this one chart. I have thousands of charts, and I asked them. In my former life, I worked with IBM for over 20 years, and I was executive, and they said, net it out. And I remember all this stuff, I had all these charts, and I said, God, I want to be able to say on one piece of paper everything I want to say, and I'm going to show you one chart that I can speak to 2 minutes or 2 days on, 20 hours. Everything that I do, all of my presentations are based on this one thing, that you're going to help me build this hierarchy of nutrients. And you're going to see Genesis. You're going to see the love of God. You're going to see the power and how he did it and the wisdom. And it's a very unique perspective. You haven't seen it anyplace else. It's funny. I was telling my wife, I was putting this together. I was Googling. And one of the things, the wellness continuum and hierarchy of nutrients. There's a picture of me that showed up if you do Google images. And when you do test it, it cracked me up. I put in outrageous health. And there was a picture of me standing behind a podium. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But this is what we're going to spend time on this afternoon. And you'll never be confused again. You can be a third grader with common sense to multiple doctorates. Nobody will ever confuse you. You want to know where the best source of protein are? You'll know that. How much do I really need? What about milk? Friend or foe? And was it ever a friend? And did it become a foe? And how did it become a foe? All of this you'll be able to know credibly, no matter what audience you're in front of. Sugar, food or poison. So we're going to have a lot of fun on that. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with that now, but I hope that you can attend. Okay, did I get a little ahead of myself? Okay, so the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not kill with foods I have not provided for you, is the sixth commandment of the health law. And in this particular case, you want to avoid the dietary weapons of mass destruction. You don't have to go to Iraq. You don't have to go to war. Most of us are digging our graves with our knives and our forks. You don't have to go out of your kitchen. And what are those weapons of mass destruction? Are you familiar with any of them? I'm happy to report that this audience doesn't have to worry about the left-hand column. We're blessed. Right? We should take that blessing. The question you might want to ask yourself is, how come we're not living 15 to 30 more years than those other guys? You're going to find out why this afternoon. You know, they had these Adventist studies back in the 60s, and you don't hear them talking about them anymore. Where we live 12 years longer than this, and then there's the Framingham studies. There's all these different studies. And cumulative, you look at these studies, it basically shows that people who live this way. Now, you know, the human body isn't political or economic. It doesn't look what church you go to. It looks at what laws you're following. And so if you're doing these kinds of things, and this is good news, but some of these things we might still be doing unwittingly, like the genetically modified foods. We're going to have a little bit of fun with prescription drugs. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with that now. But hybridized foods, canola oil, some of the things that we think are really good foods for us. It's amazing, the clients that come into my office and say, Dr. Sharps, I'm a vegetarian. I'm a fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. I got this problem, I got depression, I got high blood pressure. But, and they say, we have to talk about some of these other laws of health. I've been a vegan, fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist all my life. And let me tell you something, I go through their report, I go through their diet, and I say to them, wow, this diet is so bad that even a little bit of correction would yield superb results. And you'll see why. You'll see why this afternoon. The seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Seventh commandment of the natural, of God's divine prescription for health and healing is thou shalt not adulterate the foods I have provided for you. In this particular case, you want to avoid not only the weapons of mass destruction, but the IEDs, the improvised explosive devices. Foods that are creating all kinds of typhoons and hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes. Shaking, rattling, and rolling. Sometimes we make some audible noise about it. Some of us are going to jettison ourselves to the promised land with the kind of foods that we're eating. And these are the kinds of things that can cause destruction to the gastrointestinal system. Poor food combining, meat analogs, fried foods, vinegar. Some people think that oil and vinegar is good. Even secular people know oil and vinegar don't mix. Hydrogenated oils. We talk a little bit about microwave foods later. Preservatives, additives, flavorings, food colorings. These wreak havoc on the gastrointestinal system. Are there any other dietary weapons of mass destruction? There's a whole lot of them, aren't there? Cookies, cakes, pies, candy, chlorine, fluoride, vaccinations, herbicides. There's just a whole host of them. All foods that are not in harmony with God's prescribed recipe fit into that category. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal nutrients from my foods. And how can you do that? You can do that with too much processed food. Anything that comes in a box, can, a bottle, huh? I'll tell you, we're going to have some fun this afternoon, those of you who stick around. And those that you don't, find somebody who stuck around because they are going to be empowered with a very powerful system. As a matter of fact, I call it everything you want to know about nutrition. And most people, I've had 50-year-olds come up after their presentation and crying, saying, you know what? You made it so simple. It's not that difficult. All you need, well, I'll tell you, don't come. The qualification is if you have to have a third-grade education in common sense. If you don't have that, you might not be able to be empowered with what we're going to talk about this afternoon. But too much cooked food. You're starting to get some hints now why we're not getting those 15 to 30 productive years. But I got good news for you. You know how long it takes to get back on track, to get back that 15 to 30 productive years? Guess how long it takes? It takes 6 to 9 months, about the same amount of time it takes to have a baby. You know how there's a gestation period, no matter, and you women know better than anybody, no matter how fast you want to have that baby, you got to go through that period of time. You can pray, you can pay the doctor, you got to go through that. But I'll show you why the body is always trying to heal itself. When you put it in the right environment, I smoked for 22 years. If you looked at my lungs, they're pink as a baby's lungs right now. I smoke, I drank beer. I used to be able to eat a whole pizza and a pitcher of beer after a tennis match. And you look and say, it's a wonder. I was blessed with poor health. It's a wonder that I'm around today. It's God's powerful health message, and you'll see why this afternoon. Okay, moving on. The ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor is the ninth commandment of the health laws. The gospel worker who knows and practices health reform is twice as effective as the one who preaches the gospel. The children of God cannot glorify him with sickly bodies and dwarfed minds. You know, we have not only a special privilege, but we have a special responsibility. God gave us this health message. And what I told the people at the previous session, I'll say now, if you're not going to follow God's, you know, if you're not following his moral laws, you don't want to go around and say, I'm a Sabbath keeper, and you're out there smoking and drinking. You don't tell anybody. If you're not going to follow the health laws, don't tell anybody you're a Seventh-day Adventist. Be undercover. Sneak into church with a goatee and a mustache and a tam or something so nobody knows. Children of God cannot glorify him with sickly. And I'm one of them. I didn't say you guys. I said we. And I have my false goatee and mustache and everything. I got to sneak around. I won't tell anybody I'm a Seventh-day Adventist if I'm not following God's laws. He gave us a special responsibility. And we're blaspheming him by not following through. And we're bearing a false witness. We're not living a convicted life, and therefore giving a false witness to our unique heritage. And we have so much. We have the most powerful medical manuals known to man, and this in the spirit of prophecy. Okay, I'm going to make it on time. We're going to be able to eat. As a matter of fact, I'm getting so hungry. Where's that guy with that jacket? I'm going to eat that jacket right off. I'm going to eat that watermelon, that orange, the broccoli, the kale. Okay, just give me some good whole grain bread. But in the spirit of the hierarchy of nutrients, can't be wheat. You'll see why later. Has to be multigrain, has to be toasted. Stay tuned later and you'll know why. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's, is the moral law. The 10th commandment of the divine prescription for health and healing is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's health. And we got some talented neighbors in this church. I was hearing this singing, and the woman that sang earlier, I was just coveting all over the place. I can't sing. And my wife will tell you, I can't even make a joyful noise. I'm so bad. But we can't covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's health, thy neighbor's ministry, spiritual gifts, their nurses, their doctors, their health plan, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God's government is a government of personal responsibility. Each one must stand for him. I'm not chauvinistic, or herself. No one can obey for his neighbor or her neighbor. No one can be excused from neglecting his duty because of a single neglect on the part of his neighbor or church member or elder or deacon or family member. We all have an individual responsibility to God, our maker, and to no one else. And it's tough. I'm telling you from personal experience. I can show you the whelps on my back. But once you're convicted, you got to follow through. That's why, you know, I guess I'm so convicted as a Seventh-day Adventist because I chose Seventh-day Adventism. I studied all the health systems out there. I studied all the philosophies. I chose it. I was this far from becoming a Taoist and snatched from the jaws of defeat. Sometimes we have a sense of entitlement. And I noticed that, and not always, but sometimes third, fourth generation, they don't, you know, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I said, wow, I want to be like those guys that I've been thinking like them. And then I became a Seventh-day Adventist, and I got scourged more than my secular and heathen friends. They're heathens that are practicing our health message, and some doctors are making a mint. I'm not going to mention any names. All for the saints. So each one must stand for himself. No one can obey for his neighbor. No one can be excused from neglecting his duty. And we need to be in the world, but not of the world. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's health. And you know, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. We ought to reflect the highest attributes of the character of God. And we want to avoid, this is a disease I made up. I tell you, those things are on the, I'm going to wait to see if this comes up in Google Images. The disease of covetousitis. It's called oculoplanchism. Anybody know what oculoplanchism is? Everybody knows what ocular is, right? That's eye. Everybody knows a plank? That's a plank. Remember? You're so busy. We can't see the little speckle in somebody else because we got that huge boulder in our own eye. So this is the sin of oculoplanchism. It's the obsessive finding of fault in others, judgmentalism and self-righteousness, not living a convicted life for ourselves, but quick to point out the flaws in others. It's good news, though. It's good news. Inoculation includes a booster shot of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a touch of self-control. So, as we wind up, I think I got about 2.7 seconds. I think I can make it. 2.7 minutes. I can't even talk that fast. God gave us his instructions. He gave us the prescription for adding 15 to 30 productive years to our life. We should be the healthiest, happiest, and holiest people on this planet. And he's given us the plan for it. And he has a great assurance plan. His plan, everybody knows about Obamacare, but God's plan, he has a super plan too. It's universal coverage, 100%. It's whole body, not limited coverage. No cancellation for pre-existing conditions. Isn't that nice? I'm happy that's the case. Because that's some serious pre-existing conditions. We don't have time to go through that. No yearly lifetime caps. You can keep your current physician or you can exchange it for the heavenly option. It's affordable. Single payer system. Jesus already paid the price. Have mercy. We don't have to pull a dime out of our pocket. All right? And 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And it's the only assurance plan out there that has an eternal life policy clause. No better system in the world. So, God's plan versus Satan's plan. That's God's plan. Godly trust, open air, daily exercise, sunshine, proper rest, lots of water, always temperate, and nutrition. But, you know, Satan has his plan, too. And instead of godly trust, it's satanic trust. Instead of open air, oh, this is working very nicely. It's air pollution. Instead of daily exercise, it's television anaerobics, I should say. There's nothing going on there. Instead of sunshine, it's absence of light. Instead of proper rest, it's no rest for the weary. Instead of lots of water, swimming in sin. Instead of always tempered, plenty of temptations. Instead of nutrition, lots of denatured foods. And then he still goes on. When God finished taking care of him, he's still beating us while we're down. A is all kinds of weapons of mass destruction and never in harmony with the Master Healer. So there you have it, the Ten Commandments of Health. I'm going to save my summary statements except to say that his health law, we need both. We need to keep both his natural law and his health laws. It's not multiple choice. It's not filling the blanks. It's 100%. We're going to talk a little bit more about these health laws, some specifics, the scientific basis for it, and some very powerful perspectives that we can have. And all you need to do is invest maybe 1 to 3 hours of your time, and you will be able to be a blessing to so many people out there. You don't need any PhDs. I'm glad that I became a Seventh-day Adventist, because I have about 6 or 7 or 8 doctorates, and my brain would be more beat up than it is already. You don't need all of that. And I can tell you from my personal experience, you're going to see everything you need to know. And I studied for 30, 40 years nutrition, all these different systems. And you're going to be able to get the benefits of all of that in less than 2 hours. Okay. I guess the guy got hungry and he went to lunch. Okay. So, now that you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And I just want to end up by saying, you know, we have a loving God, very powerful God, all-wise God. There's no doubt about that. No arguments from anybody. But you know, with all of his power, all of his love, he doesn't force anything on us. While Satan is banging down the door, he just knocks ever so gently. Hi. Hey, Jim, I want to come in and sup with you ever so softly. And we have to make a choice. He gives it. You know, there's a mystery of iniquity. I don't know why God gives it. You know, I'm glad I'm not God. I'm going to give anybody a choice. I said, no, you eat that apple. You eat that broccoli. You eat every bit of that spinach before you leave the table. But he's a loving God. He gives us a choice. But, you know, in all my studies, all my docs, all my PhDs, I read the Bible through and through several times. I read almost anything I can touch put my hands on in spirit of prophecy. And I found 4 things that God does not know. And I was so glad that I found it. Do you know what those 4 things are? 4 things that God does not know. God does not know a sin he won't forgive. You know what the second thing is God doesn't know? Anybody know? A sinner he doesn't love. Boy, you guys can sing. What's the third thing God doesn't know? A sin he won't forgive. There's one more thing God doesn't know. And I'm so glad he doesn't know this one. Because I'd be in a whole heap of trouble. God does not know a better time than right now to come to him, all of us who are burdened and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Happy Sabbath.